Today, I want to talk about the most talented contemporary American filmmakers you've never heard of, David Siegel and Scott McAhey. The filmmaking team has only made 5 films in the past 20 years in a seeming attempt to match the glacial career of Stanley Kubrick. A graduate of Columbia University's film school, McAhey studied film and rhetoric in the University of California at Berkeley's graduate program. His films demonstrate the significance of hybridizing filmmaking talent with theoretical acumen. The partners' film Suture was a stunning debut, using the cliches and conventions of American film noir to interrogate the politics of race in the United States. As whiteness studies scholar Eric Lott argues, 1940s American film noir is surprisingly engaged with questions of race, an oft-ignored aspect despite the French term for the style literally translating to black film. One clear example of this in the classical Hollywood cinema is Max Ophüls' The Reckless Moment from 1949, in which an Irish gangster, played by James Mason, blackmails a middle-class housewife with the threat of exposing the sexual exploits of her teenage daughter. The family's black maid, Sybil, played by Frances E. Williams, who, despite having a prominent speaking role thanks to the racist Hollywood studio system, goes uncredited, takes on the role of what the other great melodramatist of the classical Hollywood cinema, Douglas Sirk, calls the secret owner of the film, guiding the overwrought matriarch, played by Joan Bennett, through the plot, consoling her and giving her sensible advice. It is of no small importance that McAhey and Siegel's sophomore outing, The Deep End, from 2001, is an earnest remake of The Reckless Moment. Subsequently, McAhey and Siegel have made a series of startlingly clever films. 2005's Bee Season hybridizes a story about mysticism and spelling bees with the psychological disorder of hoarding, years before the A&E cable network turned that so-so psychological tragedy into fodder for shameful gawking. In their latest film, What Maisie Knew, from 2012, McAhey and Siegel call our attention to the heretofore cinematically neglected 1897 Henry James novella about the brutal horrors of divorce, told from the point of view of a young daughter caught in between bickering parents. It is McAhey and Siegel's first film, however, Suture, from 1991, which most deserves your attention. Suture concerns two brothers, Clay and Vincent, whose father has just died. Dennis Haysbert, the African-American actor best known as the Allstate pitchman, plays Clay, while white actor Michael Harris plays his brother Vincent. At the beginning of the film, Vincent remarks to Clay how uncannily they look like each other, while we in the audience stare at a two-shot of men who could not look more different. The brotherly devotion is a ruse, however. To extract himself from debt, Vincent has arranged for Clay to drive his car from the airport. Unbeknownst to his brother, Vincent has rigged the car to explode. The plan is to assume his dead brother's identity and live off their father's inheritance. The bombing goes off without a hitch. However, Clay miraculously survives the explosion and is nursed back to health by his doctors, one of whom is named René Descartes of Cogito Ergo Sum fame. Here, the film takes a stunning theoretical turn. Because the doctors think the unrecognizably charred survivor is the white Vincent, they reconstruct him under the veneer of white identity. Falling in love with their patient, Descartes comments on Clay's thin Greek nose while we stare at Haysbert's wide proboscis. As Clay comes to understand what's happened to him, he plays along, inheriting the life of privilege that Vincent had planned for himself. Suture is a great theoretical film about the construction of social identity. Its very title invokes a 1970s psychoanalytic concept about how we take what is fragmented about the world and stitch it together into a flimsy whole that constantly needs to be disciplined lest it lose its coherence. Whiteness studies scholar Richard Dyer suggests that what we need to unpack privilege is to stop burdening only people of color with attributions of race. By normalizing white identity, Spike Lee films are seen as special because they represent the black experience, but no one bothers to label Citizen Kane as a white people's movie. Hollywood cinema has, for well over a century, implicitly defined the normative American experience as the white one. In Suture, a black actor plays a character unequivocally seen by everyone else but us in the audience as white. In so doing, the film makes normally invisible white identity perfectly clear. The film ends with resplendent irony. In voiceover narration, Clay's psychiatrist, who figures out what has happened, reflects upon the meaning of Clay's story. while we watch still photographs of Clay's life of leisure on golf courses and at swimming pools, having married Rene Descartes, and thus by thinking fast coming to be in the most luxurious sense. I thought well, therefore I am privileged. The psychiatrist argues against Clay's actions for having committed a crime against the truth. Clay can never be Vincent Towers simply because he is not. He has buried the wrong life, the wrong past, the wrong soul. Of this, we can be completely certain, intones the psychiatrist. This notwithstanding, the visual evidence indicates that a sociologically happy ending has been achieved for Clay and for us. What racial inequity has produced in the past, the evil Vincent getting the rewards while Clay suffered discrimination merely because of the color of his skin, the future has rectified. With its beautiful black and white cinematography, Mackihy and Siegel have constructed one of contemporary cinema's most precise and moving attempts to do what Richard Dyer desperately argues we need, to not only make black identity visible, as argued by Ralph Ellison in his great novel Invisible Man, but also to starkly expose the even more disturbingly invisible white privilege.